man. Hated by 1,000 men.
Desired by 1 woman.
The third man. Hanging is too good for him.
Nothing is too good for the third man.
Her man was the third man.
The man on every woman's lips.
Vienna, 1950. A city fearful of its present, uncertain of its future. Vienna, the once gay capital of a light-hearted people. Here in the shadows of its palaces and ruins is told with tenderness, drama, and suspense the story of the third man.
There was a third man there. I suppose that doesn't sound peculiar to you.
I'm not interested in whether a racketeer like Lyme was killed by his friends or by an accident. The only important thing is that he's dead.
Third Man, the story of two men and one woman caught in the dangerous web of an international love affair.
Oh, please, for heaven's sake, stop making him in your image. Harry was real. He wasn't just your friend and my lover.
No, I don't know. I'm just a hack writer who drinks too much and falls in love with girls. You?
Me?
Don't be such a fool, of course.
The third man. Joseph Cotten in his most successful performance as an American caught in a whirlpool of continental intrigue. The glamorous Valley is the mysterious Viennese actress who knew the secret of the third man.
Hello, welcome to Movie Humpers. My name is Bob Sham.
I'm Angela.
And this month, all month, has been the Left Hand Endeavor, our examination of classic film noir. All the heavy hitter movies this month of movies we just like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really why we did this month, because I love these kind of movies. I also really enjoy modern neo-noir crime movies as well.
Yep.
So if more crime movies come up in the future, that's just, honestly, we could have did the whole show about classic and modern crime movies.
Absolutely.
And I would have been happy, truly. No, we're talking about, it's all classics. Nothing, the most recent movie all month was Le Deleuze from 1962. Most of our movies are in the 40s and the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie is no exception from 1949, but we'll get to that in a second. But let me tell you, because it's the last week, I need to reiterate that this April, Awkward Laughter 2, where we're discussing comedies that became flops. A lot of these have cult successes, or at least became a little more culty hits after the fact. And it's quite a variety. And we may be Not as much purely good movies as we've been discussing. I'm sure we'll be analyzing a couple of stinkers next month. But
sure.
But it'll be interesting analyzing these movies that people thought would make it pretty big and didn't. But all these movies, even the ones that aren't great, will have like talented people that you would expect to have pulled it off.
Oh, sure. I mean, listen, everyone makes bad decisions or decisions for a paycheck sometimes in Hollywood.
I'm really excited about it. But also for our classic Awkward Laughter selections, we'll be talking about a few movies by Jerry Lewis, who made a lot of money in Hollywood. It won't be like the other movies. He actually made good money at the prime of his career.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who holds pint glasses in his face. I need to show you some pictures.
Yeah,
for some reason, you don't know what I'm talking
about. That's
the only thing I can imagine when I think of Jerry Lewis is him like holding a pint glass with his mouth.
Really?
Yeah. But anyway.
All right.
That's
not the first thing I think of, but
that all starts next week after we discuss maybe our next Lars von Trier thing, which will maybe be funny in a completely twisted way. But today we talk about an infamous film noir. A lot of movies we talked about this month show up on a lot of best of lists, right? Mm-hmm. This one is no exception. If you're like, name the greatest movies of all time, this one probably gets thrown in like your top 20s, right? And we're talking about the Carol Reed directed, that's a guy, Carol. Back then you could be called Leslie or actually our lead.
Holly.
It's played by Joseph Cotten. His name is Holly. This is woke Hollywood. Woke Hollywood giving these guys girly names. Yeah. This is what happens when Hollywood goes woke. Just calling, accusing Hollywood of being woke in a movie from 1949. Yeah. Also a British production. We're talking about The Third Man, okay? Who is The Third Man? Well, it's written by a famous novelist, Graham Greene, the screenplay to this movie. And it stars our boy, Joseph Cotten, who I think the last time we talked about old Joe Cotten was from last month's theme with the movie Gaslight, co-starring Ingrid Bergman. Joseph Cotten plays a British cop who has no British accent in that movie. Also, the British love Joseph Cotten.
Isn't he also the guy in The Killing?
No, that's Sterling Hayden.
Okay, I got them confused. They look similar.
But he was a reporter in Citizen Kane.
Yes.
Also starring Alida Valli, who was just credited as Valli. She's like the female lead in this movie. And also starring Trevor Howard and our kind of unofficial mascot for the show, Orson Welles. And yeah, I put Orson as fourth billed when going through the names here. Orson, he's only in this movie for like maybe a total of 5 minutes, if that. But when you look up images, if you look up The Third Man, image you'll see is a grinning ass Orson Welles in a fedora, in a black fedora and a long overcoat, right? That's the infamous image of him. Apparently, Orson was supposedly very cantankerous about a lot of the shooting of this movie. There was a lot of stuff that was shot on location. The street scenes were actually shot.
Were they in Vienna?
Yeah, in Vienna.
Yeah, that's where it's set, yeah.
But a lot of the interior stuff was at a studio in London. But apparently Carol Reed wanted to shoot certain scenes in a real sewer. And Orson was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Apparently Orson was very much like, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. So a lot of scenes in which you see Orson probably like being athletic on the stairs and stuff was actually the assistant director. And of course, this movie is known for its distinct shadow work, stark imagery, very kind of reminiscent also of like a movie we talked about earlier this month, Fritz Lang's which also, I mean, all these movies have, a lot of these classic film noir is very distinct shadow play almost in all of these movies, but this one is just the most realized, most infamous. Yeah. But a lot of scenes where you're seeing, I'm not sure which ones are the assistant director and which ones are Orson, but some of the famous shots from this movie are probably not even of Orson himself.
Yeah, of the 5 minutes that Orson was in this movie, he was really only in three.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Unless you could see his face.
How much you think he's in it, cut that in half, you know? But yes, The Third Man, we're in Vienna, Austria, and this is a British production as well.
Don't you feel like if this had happened now, he probably, well, I don't know if his ego would have let him do this, but he should have been uncredited. He who shall not be named in The Usual Suspects, or not The Usual Suspects, what is it, Seven?
Sometimes there are movies where like, a fairly big star will show up and won't get the credit.
Because it's the thing where there's a point in the movie where I went, oh, I haven't seen Orson yet, okay. Okay, I know what happened.
Gee. Like, it's almost just knowing he's in it and the fact that you're not.
The fact that he hasn't showed up yet, we're looking for a guy.
Yeah, you're an hour in the movie and it's like, you haven't seen Orson Welles? Who I think we've solved the mystery.
Yeah.
And of course.
You didn't necessarily know exactly who he was going to be, but you knew he was going to be the one they're looking for.
And of course, Joseph Cotten, a star in his day, but like Orson is probably, he's the name that's probably going to help sell some tickets at the same time, right? But this is a war-torn, right after World War II, and in Vienna, Austria. And there's this area, they call it like, not officially like a non-militarized zone, but this area in Austria that is both like Russian, British, and the local Austrian government.
There's four, I think. I don't know what the fourth one is.
Yeah, I think they did say four. The American government, I don't know. They don't really play into it as much. We only really see the Austrian government, the Russian government, and mostly the British government. Mm-hmm. Joseph Cotten is a writer who has come to Vienna to meet up with his friend, Harry Lime. But Harry Lime is fucking dead.
Yep.
As he comes to find out. And Joseph Cotten is, well, he's going to take it on himself to try to figure out what happened to his friend Harry Lime.
Because he doesn't feel as though the Austrian police are doing enough.
And Harry Lime has a girlfriend, is played by Vali. Or it's Anna Schmidt, that's her name. She thinks Harry Lime is dead as well, and he's got other, like, a porter that witnesses, but there's a lot of conflicting information, and the British government, the British MPs, are very vague about what they want to reveal, and it kind of seems like they're shady, but then he's getting information from this porter, and he's being told that the official report is that a car hit Harry Lime, a car that was driven by his own driver. This was somehow an accident, and that two men had to move his body off to the side.
And his doctor walked up right immediately.
The doctor comes up.
He just happened to be passing by.
And he's definitely dead because they described that his head is essentially smashed.
Yeah, the porter said there's literally no way he was alive because of the way his head was. But these two men, these two older gentlemen who we find out later are in a relationship together.
Yes.
And live together. But they both knew Harry Lime. They say that he spoke to them and told them to go give the girlfriend money and that his friend was coming and that they should make sure to take care of him. But the porter said, no, he was definitely dead. And also there were three men.
I was not the only one who did not give evidence.
Who else?
Three men helped to carry your friend to the statue.
Kurtz?
Yes.
The Romanian?
Yes.
And?
There was a third man. He didn't give evidence.
You don't mean the doctor?
No. He came later. After they carried him to the Joseph statue.
What did this man look like?
I didn't see his face.
I think Harry had invited him to come on like a business proposition.
Yeah,
something like that. He wanted to let him in on something. But he shows up and Harry's a fucking dead man. So Holly, as played by Joseph Cotten's going around like, well, who's the fucking third man? And a lot of people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. The British MPs, the Russians don't seem to give a shit, but they are kind of, they got their eye on Anna Schmidt because she's a Czechoslovakian national, and that is under the Soviet Union, and post-World War II, they're trying to repatriate these areas. So if they find out that her ID is forged, well, the British government might use her to as like a political tool to give back to the government to have them work together and to be able to, because the British government they're investigating something very specific that we don't know yet.
They're also trying to get Joseph out of town. They're constantly trying to shove airplane tickets in his face to make him leave.
Because he's just kind of like a pain in the ass, like being all up in this.
And they are working on a larger case that they don't tell him until the end. And so I do think part of it is you're going to get in the way. You know, he goes and he meets the girl. He finds out that this girlfriend performs in this theater. So he goes and does the dumbest thing. He tries to talk to her when she's backstage during the middle of an opera.
Yeah, yeah.
What?
Hey.
And she says, after. Like, of course.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, dude. So he goes, and anyway, they end up having a friendship. From her side, it's a friendship. She's still very much in love with Harry. The love of her life just died. She says at one point that she doesn't know what to do except that she wants to die also. You know, she was so in love with Harry. And Joseph, you know, over this time together really starts to feel for her, and he has this sense of wanting to take care of her. He happens to be with her when the cops come and take her passport.
Yeah.
They actually take her in for questioning. He's trying to help her.
Make arrangements.
He's trying to figure out what
her.
Happened. Absolutely.
They're also bonded by their connection to Harry. Joseph reveals the past, like, yeah, he used to try to steal my girls and he used to do all this. And
she wants to know everything because Harry is a very secretive dude.
They like each other, but he's falling for her. And you think it's going to be something where they kind of maybe will run off, but it's not like that at all. At least not from her end. But I think he really does like her.
He really does. And he even tells her at one point that he is in love. But I loved that not even for a second did I believe that she would.
Yeah, that is definitely a unique take for a character at this time.
Yeah, and
especially a female lead like this.
Yeah, for her to say no, no, no.
It's even better at the end when we'll get to that.
He is obsessed with who is this third man. And he ends up getting to stay longer because he agrees to do some book talk thing that he doesn't prepare at all for. And it's like a major fucking flop when he finally gets there. But it buys him like 3 days at a hotel for free.
Yeah, he sets up to do like a little lecture.
But what's hilarious is
so focused on the crime that he doesn't prepare for it at all.
But this is the funniest thing to me because one of the cops that is, you know, bringing him in and always around, he's like the second in command. He's read Holly's books and yeah, he really likes them, but they are like Westerns. They're very pulpy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not anything like serious or highbrow, right? But because this cop loves the books, he tells this other guy who's arranging this book talk that, oh, this is an author. Well, that guy doesn't know any of his stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. And he spends the next 3 days until he agrees to it, but then completely forgets. And he spends this time looking for this third man, trying to figure out his friend's murder until the point where he gets picked up in a car and he thinks he's going to be murdered or taken to jail. And he's delivered to the book talk. The funniest thing to me is he gets up there. He's prepared nothing. They're wanting to talk about literature.
Well, I suppose that is what I meant to say.
Of course, of course, of course.
Do you believe, Mr. Martins, in the stream of consciousness?
Stream of consciousness.
What author has chiefly influenced you?
Gray.
Gray? What Gray?
Zane Gray.
Oh, that's Mr. Martins' little joke, of course, sir. We all know perfectly well Zane Gray wrote what we call Westerns.
They are actually in front of him making fun of the type of books that he writes, but he's also so distracted that he doesn't even have a comeback for it.
Yeah, he doesn't even care.
He doesn't care. He doesn't know what to say. People just are leaving. It's a huge flop. That part was so funny to me because they're truly like, what do you think about? And they're trying to ask about these like authors that are like whatever, and they're making fun of American Western novels, and that's exactly what he does. I think the guy thought he was a legit literary figure, but didn't do any research. You gotta make a phone call. Like, pick up a guy's book. It's so dumb. I can't remember exactly how we get to the next moment, but he gets drunk. He's gonna leave. He gets drunk, and he goes to her house. And he wants to see her one more time. Also, she's sleeping in Harry's pajamas. She's wearing these men's pajamas that have HL on them.
Yeah, yeah.
She's so in love with him. It's just very sweet. And so she gets up and puts her robe on, and he's trying to say he loves her. They could go away together.
Yeah.
And
there's also a little cat here. And the cat
gets
out of the apartment. And so, yeah, he's doing this awkward little exchange between them. And then the cat, we see the cat walk down the street and walk up. We see feet like a man in the shadows.
In a doorway.
And the cat walks up to the guy like it's familiar with the man.
And immediately I was like, that's fucking Harry.
That's Harry Lime.
And he's watching her house.
Joseph goes out into the street and he knows he's being followed,
yeah,
right?
But he thinks it's like cops.
Because, you know, yeah, people have been following him the whole time. And he's just calling him out, step out of the shadows, step out of the shadows.
Step out in the light and let's have a look at you. Who's your boss?
You're so dead, no one was just in the loose.
Sam's was falling in, you up, then. Sansi deppert. Ja, sie meine ich, schon so blöd. Eine Frechheit ist das mitten in der Nacht.
Out of the shadows steps Harry Lime, as played by Orson Welles with his cad smile. He's been hiding out like a Batman villain going up through the tunnels and sewers of Vienna. Like, there's still demolished buildings in this like area that can't be developed because it's torn between multiple nations.
It seems so real.
When there's chase scenes and shit like that, they're actually stumbling through like rubble from the aftermath of a global war.
Oh.
And it's really, really cool. I mean, it's been said plenty of times how beautiful this movie
it's
looks.
It's gorgeous.
We won't harp on it, but it's true.
There is also a point where he and the girl are going to go see the porter because the porter's like, I have something I will tell you.
Yeah.
Right? But as soon as the porter says, I have something I'll tell you, he turns and you know he sees someone who's going to kill him.
Yeah, you know he's dead.
Joseph goes and gets her and they go to see the porter. And this is before he has seen Harry. But there's this little child there who saw Joseph talking to, I guess, his father. I guess that old man was his father. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of me wants there to be a subtitle to tell me what these people are saying in another language. But in this in particular, it was interesting because I only understood what Joseph understood. You know, he didn't, you know, like, so I don't know. There's like an interesting other layer to that where these people are saying things and we don't know what they're saying unless she translates. Right. And so this kid is like calling out his name and everyone starts looking at him very suspiciously. And he looks at her and he's like, what's going on? And she said, the porter's dead and they think you did it.
Mm.
And so that's the other thing he thinks people might be chasing him for is because they basically, but they chase him down this like rubble stairway.
Yeah.
And this kid is leading the mob, which was hilarious to me. He's like this little child who's like this little round-faced boy like running.
What we discover that the British MPs are investigating because, you know, it's hard to, penicillin. It's hard to get penicillin in this area. And of course, a lot of people are sick, you know, coming out of this horrible war. Medical supplies are being stolen from, penicillin is being stolen from a medical facility.
Mm-hmm.
And we discover that Harry was with his doc, his gay doctor friends. He was kind of funneling penicillin out of a medical place and they were cutting the penicillin in half. They were cutting it with something. And to make it go further so they could double their money.
My understanding, because these were children with meningitis.
Yes.
And I didn't pick up that it was what they were cutting it with. What got me was when the detective said, the lucky ones died. The ones that survived are in a are in a worse state than they ever could have been. And my assumption was it's either like, yeah, because that is a disease that if you don't get it soon enough, that's what happens.
Right.
So I think what it was some of the kids were too far gone and they passed away. The little bit of penicillin they got did not help them. The other ones, because it wasn't enough, it allowed them to live.
Change. Yeah.
But they did not improve.
Yeah.
They couldn't because they were too sick. And so truly, Harry Lime is a straight up villain. He's killing children. He fakes his death. He lurks in the shadows. He runs around in the sewer. He is the Penguin.
Now, they did successfully convince the British MPs that he died. So they don't think like they're not looking for Harry Lime. They think he's dead.
Yeah.
They're just trying to find the operation that was happening post his death that they knew he was involved in. You're so smart.
Could you just acknowledge that yes, I said him up as he's the Penguin?
He is the Penguin. Orson Welles would have played the Penguin pretty great.
He would have been so great.
Now, Orson, he's got that wry smile that you've seen young Orson Welles always have. It looks like he's just barely, honestly, it looks like he's just being himself. But you're right. He's a monster.
He's a monster.
He's like the most charming child poisoner you've ever met in your whole life. He's been hiding out in the Russian part of things because the Russians don't give a fuck. Like they could give two shits what Austrians are. They don't give a fuck what's happening to them.
Well,
so he's able to kind of maneuver around through the Russian parts of the town and operate.
Yeah. And so Joseph Cotton, Holly, goes to the doctor's house. And that's when we know for certain that these two men are in a relationship because we've seen them both with the same little tiny dog. And then this point, they truly both come out in their like dressing coats or whatever they're called, their house coats, onto the balcony to speak to him. And they're together and they have their little dog. And he says, I know Harry is alive and you're going to tell him to meet me. And they're like, we don't know what you're talking about.
This
and
is woke Hollywood putting these gay men in this movie.
We do know what you're talking. Like, I do know. You do know what I'm talking about. You're going to tell him to go and meet me at this Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
And so he goes to the Ferris wheel and Harry shows up.
And they ride the Ferris wheel. And it's a great scene. But he's Like I said, this guy is the most charming monster ever.
Victims? Be melodramatic.
Look down there. Would you really feel any pity if one of those dots stopped moving forever? If I offered you £20,000 for every dot that stopped, would you really, old man, tell me to keep my money? Or would you calculate how many dots you could afford to spend? Free of income tax, old man. Free of income tax. The only way you can save money nowadays.
And when, you know, Joseph is trying, or we keep calling him, his real name is Joseph Cotton.
Holly Martins.
His character is Holly Martins.
Which sounds like a Holly Go Lightly kind of like hip 70s girl.
He loves his friend, but he's also trying to appeal to his more moral side, of which there truly is none, is there?
No, because his answer to all of it is, I'll cut you in.
Well, yeah.
Don't tell on me, I'll cut you in.
He's like, I can get you in on this. And he's like,
well, what the fella said, in Italy for 30 years under the Borgias, they had warfare, terror, murder, and bloodshed, but they produced Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, and the Renaissance. In Switzerland, they had brotherly love. They had 500 years of democracy and peace, and what did that produce? The cuckoo clock. So long, Holly.
Apparently, he ad-libbed that line and stole it from a play.
Of course he stole it.
Apparently, the Swiss got upset at him because they were like, actually, our military was very feared during this time.
Actually.
Or, yeah, they actually actually'd
Orson Welles in a movie.
And Orson was like, fine, whatever, the Swiss... The Swiss military is amazing.
That's amazing. So he leaves there and he goes to the cops and he says, I'm not going to help you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to help you. They're going to get him out of town. They say, okay, well, we'll catch him anyway.
They're like,
we'll get him eventually.
The town and he takes.
Good.
He takes him to the children's medical ward to show them what's happening to these children. Gotten sold this bunk penicillin.
I loved that they didn't actually show us any children. They were all sort of in these like crib situations with high sides on them. And you saw the nurses tending to them, but you didn't actually see the kids. Not showing it.
Made it stronger.
Made it stronger and so much more upsetting. So,
Holly makes an arrangement. Leads like, look, I will... turn in Harry Lime if you help Anna get out of fucking Europe.
Because this whole time, her passport's been in question. She basically admits to the British intelligence that Harry got her stuff forged. And so the Russians are going to take her away. And so he's trying to get her to America.
So they get her somewhere. They get her on a... I think they're just trying to send her to France.
Put on a train.
And she sees that Holly is like sitting in a restaurant, making sure she goes away. So
fucking love Warren. If he'd left it alone,
she gets off the train. It's like, what are you doing? And the train leaves, and it fucks up his whole plan to get her to safety. But they do. He does arrange to. Well, Harry
Lyme, Orson, he shows up.
He's a smart guy, and he knows that he's being set up. And you see all the police. The British police set up for like a sting and with Holly to bait the scenario. But then Orson, again, like a Batman villain, just appears on top of a building and scouts the whole thing. And he walks into the restaurant to confront Anna. The police come in and see that they're there. And then he runs out the back. So we get the infamous chasing through the sewer scene. And shit like that.
Yeah.
And we all see this movie just for these visuals. We can't accurately describe. They're great. It's a beautiful fucking movie.
Yeah.
It looks sharp as fuck. But it comes to the point where Orson is very deftly, or Harry Lime, very deftly maneuvering because he knows all these tunnels and shit. And then he gets shot by one of the cops. He actually ends up killing one of the Sergeant Payne,
who likes the sweet books. Yeah.
So shit's on now. He's done killed one of the British dudes. And so it's a scene where Cotton has a gun and Harry's trying to scramble. He's been shot by the British dudes too.
And his fingers are up through the grate.
And he can't get out. Yeah.
He's like too weak to like lift the grate, but you can see his fingers.
So it's just, Holly is just face to face with Harry.
And the cop yells, don't take any chances. Shoot him if you have a shot.
But he's looking at Harry like, and you know he doesn't want to kill his friend, even though his friend's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But Harry, you see, gives him like a little.
Because he knows he's going to die. Or he's going to spend his life in jail. Yeah.
And you hear the gunshot. And Joseph walks out of the shadows. And that great shot of him just walking down. Because he's far enough away where it's like, is it going to be Harry? Is it going to be...
Because all you heard was the shot. You didn't see the gunshot.
And that pretty much is the end of it. And we see the British dudes are trying to get him out of town once again. They're driving
There's
him.
There's the funeral. They go to the funeral.
Which is a real funeral this time.
And she's there. Anna's there. And Cotton's there. And then, the policeman... Detective is going to drive
Calloway.
Him.
He starts to drive him, and they drive by Anna. And so, they're like trying to get Holly out. I mean, the job is done. The people are arrested. But then Holly's like, let me out. He's like, are you fucking serious? Like, get out of Europe, bro. But he's like, no, I'm going to go talk to her. The Calloway lets him out, and he's just leaning on some stuff, waiting for Valley.
He's got his suitcase,
Anna to walk by, and she doesn't even look at him.
Look at him.
Just walks right by him, out of frame. And you half accept, it lingers so long that you half expect Anna to walk back into frame. She does not.
She doesn't, and I actually said she better fucking not. Because here's the thing, that moment in the restaurant where, Cotton's in there, Anna's gotten off the train. She's coming to confront him. Harry shows up in that room, and they all three are there in that moment. In that moment, she knows that Harry's alive, and she knows that Joseph Holly was going to turn him in, was getting her out of town, and was going to give him up. She still loves Harry so much. She is going to hate Joseph for the rest of their life. She can't get with him. Someone, even if you did something terrible, someone kills you and then is going to try to get with me? Are you fucking kidding?
But she also is having to deal with the fact that, she loved Harry, but she's also has to contend with the fact that Harry was not a good man, right?
Oh, yeah, but she has to deal with that. She needs to be alone. She can't be with someone else.
Either way, whether or not she's mad at Harry or still in love with him, she still has to process that.
And it's never going to be the man that shot the gun that killed him.
And instead of just maybe more typically running into the arms of the man that's left that tried to help her, she's just like, I'm fucking done with y'all. And she's gone. And that's the end of the movie. And it's a great ending there, too. A great scene. I feel like Valley as Anna Schmidt, like they really did that. That type of character just felt so different in this type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
1 through 5 combined for best out of 10. I think it's a 5.
I do too.
Showing it to you, The Third Man by Carol Reed from 1949 is in between another classic film noir, The Night of the Hunter by Charles Lofton, and The Tragedy of Macbeth, the Joel Coen movie from 2021. And it has earned its place into our S tier ranking. And I believe we have 2 more for the week. One more overseas foreign language, at least by our standards, noir. And then we will go out on, I think, a James Cagney movie. So I'm excited about that. So thank you for watching. Check the show notes for links, other places to find us. More noir. We're not quite done, but we are coasting into Awkward Laughter 2 for April. And so like and subscribe, leave a comment, correction, any fun facts. This movie is very well regarded. What do you think of it? All right. Now, let's say, do you want to read that line, the Sherry, what Sherry said when, never forget what Sherry said when she got shot and killed in The Killing.
It isn't fair. I never had anybody but you. Not a real husband, not even a man. Just a bad joke without a punchline.